Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Thanks to gerrymandering, Republicans in the General Assembly and Congress have held far greater majorities since the 2010 election than the percentage of the votes they actually received. That was part of the plan all along, according to a book written by the former editor of Salon that details how Republicans took over state legislatures across the country with a national strategy that changed our national political debate and how Congress works. The book is Rat Effed, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. And Daly joins us now to talk about it. Well, thanks for joining us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
I want to ask, obviously, a lot of questions about what you found and what you wrote about, but what actually made you write this book?
I was really confused by what happened in the 2012 election. Barack Obama gets reelected. The Democrats take back the U.S. Senate, but the Republicans retain a 234-201 majority in the U.S. House of Representatives, and it's essentially the end of President Obama's agenda on the domestic side. He's really not able to get anything else through Congress for the second term of his presidency that it wasn't done by an executive order. And I was curious as to how that was possible. And as I looked into it, I realized, well, you have to go back 40 years to find another example of Democrats getting more votes for the Congress and not getting a majority of seats. And they got 1.4 million more votes than the Republicans in the aggregate in 2012, but still had that 33-seat deficit in states like Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, states that went blue that year, that a majority of voters voted Democratic. Republicans had huge 2-to-1 majorities in Congress, sometimes 3-to-1 majorities in the delegation. And as I looked into it, I found that this was a conscious, deliberate, and brilliant Republican strategy called Red Map to use the gerrymander, the oldest political tool in the book, in a thoroughly modern and interesting new way that allowed them to build a firewall in Congress and also state legislatures around the country against a majority of Democratic voters.
You mentioned gerrymandering, the oldest trick in the book. It has been around for a while. What made this different from the historic efforts on gerrymandering?
I would say a couple of things. I mean, certainly you can trace gerrymandering back to the founding of the Republic, back to Patrick Henry in the first congressional election in Virginia back in the 1780s. Whenever politicians are able to draw their own lines, whether these are politicians of either party, they are going to take advantage of it for their own benefit, and both sides have over the years. The modern history of gerrymandering tends to be an incumbent protection racket. Even if it's bipartisan, it's the two parties essentially getting together and finding a way to keep their incumbents in office. What the Republicans do in 2010 is different. They use it as a tool to build a majority for the party and not necessarily to advance the interests of particular incumbents. And they're able to do this first with a deliberate strategy to control the process in each of the states. And let me back up for a second and get Schoolhouse Rock. This happens every 10 years. We redraw all of the state legislative and congressional lines. It's mandated in the Constitution, and it has to do with making sure that the population is orderly distributed and fairly so across all of these districts. It's the state legislatures in most states that draw the congressional lines. And what the Republicans realize is that state legislatures are usually very closely divided, and it doesn't cost very much to win seats there. So they target control of state legislative chambers with an eye to having complete control of the redistricting process in each of these states, so that every person who has a chair at the table in each individual state was a Republican. It's a brilliant plan. It's amazing. Nobody had thought of it in exactly this way before. They essentially played Moneyball, the old movie about baseball and Billy Beane and the Oakland A's, and turned it into politics and Congress. So half of this is a really audacious strategy and a reimagining of the possibilities of gerrymandering. The other half of it is the technology is so good by 2010 that gerrymandering is in its minor leagues. It's in its infancy for the 210 years that came before it. I mean, think of how you texted in 2000 versus how you text in 2010. It's the same thing with the way you draw lines. The computer software is so dynamic and it can take in so many pieces of information. A program called Maptitude is used to draw this, and it comes preloaded with all of the census information. So that's a lot of powerful details right there: demographics, ethnicity, economics, religion, what have you. But you can add on to that things like voting records, precinct by precinct, down ballot census, block level of voting details. I mean, how did elections turn out, block by block? Social media likes, consumer preferences, magazine subscriptions, all of these things are available for pennies. And you can load them onto this program and you can draw perfect, precise lines, surgically crafted, in the words of the federal court that overturned a bunch of these North Carolina districts, surgically crafted lines that you know what the results are going to be. They can look competitive. They are not competitive.
It seemed also the perfect storm in a way, and they were obviously well organized to take advantage of it. For folks who sort of forget, 2010 was the year of the Tea Party movement, which we could obviously talk about all day, how that really started, whether it was organic or planned and funded by some of these same interests. But the year of the sort of the angry summer.
Angry town halls.
Right. So they had sort of the environment already there.
It's really amazing. The Republicans win something like 700 state legislative seats in 2010. It's their best year, probably in about 40 years, as far as down ballot victories. But the key was not winning 700 seats. It was winning about 117 particular seats that they focused on. Now, there's an amazing op-ed that Karl Rove writes in the Wall Street Journal in March of 2010, in which he talks about how if you control redistricting, you can control Congress and state legislatures. And he lays out what the entire plan is going to be. And he says, Republicans are going to target 117 state legislative seats in 16 states. And he names the neighborhoods they're in, like Brushy Creek and Round Rock, Texas, like at that level of granularity. So the fact that they win 700 makes it a big Republican year. But the important thing is that they win those 117 seats and flip control of legislatures in North Carolina, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Florida. These are purplish and often blue states that allowed Republicans to have complete control of the entire redistricting process after 2010, and they took complete and legal advantage of it. They completely outsmarted the Democrats at every step of the way. The Democrats slumbered through this. They never saw it coming. They've paid the price throughout this decade.
Well, that actually, you sort of anticipated my next question. Reading the book, I was really struck by that. Where were the Democrats? I mean, there's a lot of other things at play here, but they do have partially themselves to blame.
Oh, I think that's right. They did not have the imagination to come up with this strategy on their own. And when Karl Rove announces the plan in the Wall Street Journal, they didn't have the foresight and wherewithal to go ahead and play defense against it. They have woken up from this slumber a little bit. President Obama has said that redistricting will be his top political priority now that he is out of office. He and Eric Holder have formed something called the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, and they've got a sort of an alliance of the Democratic political groups, and they're trying to flip back chambers themselves in 2020. But it is a really, really long road back. I'm not convinced it can be done at the electoral level. Democrats tried this in 2016. They targeted 32 seats, some of them in North Carolina and also in these other key states I keep coming back to, like Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania. They only won 8 of those 32 seats. Republicans are smart. They have drawn really difficult lines for Democrats to win on. And if the Democrats want to undo this, they have to find a way to win with usually less campaign money, no element of a surprise now, and also that they have to overcome those lines. It is an incredibly difficult uphill fight for them.
Finally, before I let you go, you mentioned that the courts might be the answer. There's actually a case making its way through the courts that challenges the constitutionality of gerrymandered maps on partisan grounds, which would seem to be a major blow to this effort if that makes it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that this is probably not going to be undone electorally at the ballot box, but there are a handful of cases, including cases out of North Carolina and a handful of others, some from Virginia, from Maryland, and a key case from Wisconsin that is called the Whitford case that is headed to the Supreme Court possibly as soon as this fall, that could lead to the first standard on partisan gerrymandering that the Supreme Court has ever agreed to. So all of these years, there's never been a standard on this. The court has always said, well, gerrymandering is part of the political process. It's something that both sides do. We're a court. We don't really want to get involved with the politics of this. However, what the courts have seen in this decade is that the gerrymander is more difficult to undo. There is more willingness and openness to take a look at this process. It's been more than a decade since the court has taken a partisan gerrymandering case. And this case out of Wisconsin is trying to show a mathematical theorem to detect when a gerrymander has gone too far, when the percentage of seats held by a party is way out of whack to the percentage of votes that they receive in that election. So I think that if there is hope for a solution that puts a little bit more balance and competitiveness back into our elections, it's going to come from the courts.
Well, let's hope that happens. I really appreciate you taking this time with us. It's a fascinating book, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.